This special edition of the Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you through the courtesy of Mouse World Radio. My name is Mike Scopa from WW Today, and with me on this special edition of the Mickey Miles podcast is my podcast co-host, Michelle Scrivener-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mike.
We are obviously here for a special reason. That special reason is the occurrences that took place in Boston this afternoon at the Boston Marathon. And Michelle, do you want to say something that we both feel very strongly about regarding the people who were affected by this?
Well, as probably a lot of our listeners know, both you and I grew up in the Boston area, and I know I grew up going to the Boston Marathon, and it's one of the reasons that I love running so much. It's just a wonderful, peaceful celebration. Today is Patriots Day in Massachusetts. It's a day that many people have off. There's always a Red Sox game. It's a fantastic day, and you can imagine that this is just very hard to take. It's very, very upsetting. My heart goes out to everybody who was injured or affected. I think this is a ripple effect in so many different ways. We think of the people immediately who are hurt and killed and their families, but also people who have trained. We think of the sport of running. We think of all the people who run the Boston Marathon, the first responders. And it's just, we thought that it would be a good idea to kind of give people a chance to call and talk about it and voice their feelings about it. And I just want to say that for me today, one of the things that really helped was to be able to kind of stay on top of things and where people were by looking at Facebook. And I also want to thank Mike Newell for suggesting this, because this was really his idea, and I think it is a great way for everybody to come together and talk about this.
We want to thank Mike Newell, and we also want to thank the my partners at WW Today, because we're using the chat room. If you would like to participate in the chat room, it's at live.wdwtoday.com, and we invite you to go into the chat. If you would like to call in, and this show is about you, we wanted to hear from everyone. We wanted to hear your thoughts. We wanted to hear from those who were there. We want to hear from those who ran the race. We have friends who ran the race. I have relatives who were down there watching the race. We want to hear from everybody. We want you to tell us your feelings. And I think that it's obvious that in all of our minds, we're thinking about what this does to the running community. We want to be very, very aware of that. So please feel free to give us a call. The phone number is 407-278-5939. So please feel free to call. Michelle, I think that one of the things that when you and I first heard about this, you called me up and we started saying to ourselves, wow, how would this impact Run Disney events in terms of security? And I was just wondering, do you have any thoughts about how this would change what we are used to seeing in a Run Disney event?
It's a good question, Mike. You know, to be honest, I haven't really given it much thought today. I'm so wrapped up in what's happening in the news, and I'm thinking about it. I definitely think that as a parent, I look at every time I send my kid out to a place where I can't make them safe to a crowd like this, I wonder. And, of course, Disney is all about crowds. And when I think of the numbers at the Boston Marathon, I heard today 27,000 runners. Well, that sounds pretty familiar, because a lot of the big races at Disney have 27,000 runners. And I know first and foremost, they want to keep people safe. What do you think?
Well, what's interesting is that John and Betsy Hughes, Run Disney race director, is in Boston, and I'm sure that he's thinking about this. One of the things that I was thinking about is that the danger was more, when you look at the video of what happened, it was the spectators who were in danger more than the runners. So my thought is that there would be some type of measures, I would guess, in some races that are coming up this year, that will try to do something to make sure that the finish line is secure. I've listened to a number of race officials talk from around the country trying to prepare for our show tonight. And a lot of them say that what they may be looking at is to secure an area between 1 and 300 feet from the finish line, because if there was anything like this to happen, it would happen in a concentrated area, and that's where everybody congregates. So having said that, you know, I'm thinking about the huge area that is Walt Disney World with the half marathons and the marathons, and people are all over the place. And I don't know how many at the finish line, but it's a lot. We have a call coming in. Could you please tell us your name and where you're from?
This is Cynthia, and I live in California, Discovery Bay, California.
Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to the show. You are our first caller. What would you like to say tonight about what happened today?
Well, where do you find the words? But I appreciated you retweeting what was it, Carissa?
Yes, I just a few minutes ago, Cynthia.
Yes, I'm definitely going to wear my running shirt tomorrow, and I'm sorry. It's just
No, we're all feeling the same thing. I think what Cynthia is talking about is Carissa Bielert, who is one of the announcers from Run Disney, wrote a wonderful blog, and I just retweeted it a few minutes ago. And what she and a lot of other runners are suggesting to do tomorrow is to wear your race shirt to think of the victims of what happened today. So I think it's a great idea.
And I think there was... I don't know who it was that was speaking on TV, but the commissioner or governor or whatever, but that, you know, yes, this is a horrible thing, but it also shows the best of us. And, you know, just to whatever we can do to help these poor people that, you know, have lost their loved ones and the injured and, you know, whatever we can do to help as a running community, as fellow humans, you know, then, you know, we should try and get that word out, too.
Yeah, we did see a lot of people just jump right in. Mike, you were mentioning before we started how people were just ripping down the barriers. And I think, Cynthia, runners are very kind and very tough. And I know Bostonians are very tough, too. And this is very hard to take, but I know that we're going to bounce back.
Yeah, I have friends who were about a mile from where the explosions happened. And, you know, with their small children, I said, try and get them some counseling too, because we can't let this run our lives, you know, and don't mean to say that word, but, you know, dictate to us what we're going to do with our lives and stop us from running or doing whatever it is we, you know, need to do to live our lives. So we can't let them win that way. So anyways, thank you. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Cynthia. I wasn't sure if you were finished. What else did you want to say?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that I appreciate you letting us call in, having this opportunity, because it helps. It's cathartic. Is that how you say the word? Therapeutic, I guess.
Yeah, it is therapy. You know what you said? You said something very near and dear to my heart. And Michelle mentioned how she and I have grown up in the greater Boston area. And Patriots Day is very symbolic for a lot of New Englanders and greater Bostonians, because it's Patriots Day. It's there's a Red Sox game at 10 o'clock, and traditionally that's always been the hottest ticket to get when tickets went on sale, because you could go to Fenway Park, watch the game, go out to Kenmore Square, watch the runners go by, then go back into Fenway Park. And children are off school, and it's just a great, you know, opening day of spring, and it's a very happy day. So now when you think of what happened today, and you think about what some of the youngsters are going to think about, it's like I'm having a very difficult time trying to grasp how anyone could do this. But we'll see what happens. We thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's just one of those things, Michelle, that kept popping up in my head all day.
And, you know, one of the things that you were saying earlier about there being – so one of the things that you were saying earlier about making sure that the finish line is secure, when we think of the Boston Marathon, having been down there many times, it is four or five people deep when you're at the finish line. And when I think of Disney races and all the places that there are lots and lots of people, starting with the Expo and then the race gathering area and then the finish line and all, you know, down Main Street, there are a lot of places where I think that there may have to be more security measures.
Yeah, I think you're right. Again, we want to make sure that everybody knows the number to call if they would like to come on and talk about this, if they have, if they were there, if they have any strong thoughts about this. The number is 407-278-5939. I got a lot of calls today. I got a lot of texts, tweets, Facebook. Everyone was asking if I was okay, if friends and relatives were okay, and it was just another indication of how much of an impact social media has on this. And it's just amazing how the news traveled so fast. You know, Michelle, just amazing.
It is. I think that for me, I know a lot of other people share this sentiment too. It was just, it's been lots of crying. You know, when Cynthia was on the line, it just brings it all back again. And you just think of running as such a peaceful sport. You think of the Boston Marathon as being, you know, the oldest marathon, something that so many people aspire to, and just a joyous day. And, you know, I don't want to say that it's going to be tainted forever. I know we will bounce back, but it's very hard to take. Very, very hard to take.
So I was thinking as I'm watching, I was watching tonight, and I'm seeing the footage with the runners running down Boylston Street, and I'm thinking, okay, so if I was running that race, and all of a sudden, you know, someone said to me, and we've heard from some friends, Michelle, how they were pulled off the race. They pulled off the race course. I'm thinking, okay, why am I being pulled off the race course, number one? And number two, what about, and when I'm told what happened, my thought is immediately, oh, my God, I have friends, I have relatives at the finish line. I hope they're okay. So what do? You're being told you can't run anymore. And there's been two explosions at the finish line. You're helpless. You may not have your cell phone. What do you do? So the angst, the anxiety, the stress, everything from the children to the police, to the medical people.
Well, add to that, everything. Too, that they were asking people not to use their cell phones because they were afraid that they were going to – that other devices might be detonated. So they were specifically asking people in Boston not to use their cell phones during that time. So I know that people – probably most of the people are not familiar, but there was a meeting area about a mile down the way. I think we have another call, though.
Yes. Tell us your name and where you're from, please.
Hi, Mike. It's Chuck Leyenberger from Roanoke, Virginia.
Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Good to hear that you guys are doing well. I wanted to pass along all our thoughts to everybody who's listening. You got me?
Yeah.
It's quite a day, huh?
I am about 45 minutes away from Virginia Tech. And just to put this in historical context, or into context, tomorrow is the anniversary of the Virginia Tech shooting.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
no kidding. So, you know, this is just one more example of just horrible things that could happen. I wanted to dovetail on what Michelle had also mentioned about wearing a jersey. I'd love to see people wear their medals tomorrow. You know, we're all winners.
That's
no matter
a great
what
idea.
We do. Wear your medal tomorrow. If you've earned it, it doesn't matter whether it's a marathon medal, a 5K medal, a Mickey Mile medal, you know, whatever. Wear your medal tomorrow.
I think that's a great idea.
Support for everybody in Boston.
I think that's a great idea. I actually have a 5K race tomorrow night, and I'm very curious about, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to be with a lot of local runners, really diehard runners. I think it's, that's a great idea.
I'm doing the Blue Ridge Half Marathon. It's America's toughest road race. It's here in Roanoke, and it's on Saturday. And I'm doing the half marathon version of it, so there's only one mountain involved for me versus three mountains, but... I mean, they've already talked about how they're really up in security and everything like that.
So does it give you pause to worry, Chuck? I mean, are you concerned?
No, that's not
good.
At all.
That's good.
Because, you know, I have trust and faith in all the emergency personnel and police that they're going to do everything that they possibly can do to keep us safe, whether I'm running, you know, the Blue Ridge Marathon coming up this weekend or... You know, in a couple of years, I'm planning to take on the Dopey, assuming it continues after this year, down in Florida. And I'm absolutely 100% confident that they will do everything that they can do to keep us safe.
Do you foresee any changes in Disney races? Have you given it any thought?
You know, I've done Mike and I have done a couple times down there. I've run the Disney half, did the half in 2010 and the full in 2012. There'll be changes, yeah, without a doubt. You will see increased security. I would not be surprised to see a more stringent bag check and screening. The one interesting thing, with the exception of those areas outside the parks, but there's quite a fair amount of the marathon route that you have to be inside a park, and so there is bag check that goes on. And so there is somewhat of a screening process for spectators. Now, that not true once you get outside the park areas and, you know, say running along, you know, just the road somewhere or something like that. So it might be a little bit different than something like Boston or, you know, Blue Ridge, you know, this weekend where you are running just completely in public. But that being said, yeah, the security is going to be increased for everything, you know, whether it's a running event, whether it's a, it doesn't really matter, whatever it is.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Our world has changed. Unfortunately, our world has changed yet again.
Yeah, it
and
has.
So, you know, we're going to see a little more security. And in the name of security, and that's...
Right.
You know, it's sad that it has to be done, but... You know,
somebody was mentioning on the chat pages, on the chat box, if registration for running events is going to drop because of this. And I hope not. I don't think it will. You know, what you said about security made me think Mike and I cheered for the half this past January. And, Mike, do you remember, did we have a bag check that early in the morning when we went onto the monorail? I think we just went right onto the monorail and...
I don't remember because, you know, of course,
There was no bad check.
Main Street without a bag check. And there are hundreds and hundreds of people there.
Oh, wait a minute. I know there was no bag check leaving the gathering area at Epcot and going on to that monorail. But and getting into – well, I didn't go into the Magic Kingdom, but I don't remember. I think we did have bag check. I think we did. I think they want to protect the crown jewel. But like Chuck said, you know, when you're talking about the half, Chuck, are you talking about the full down there? There are many places outside the parks that things could happen, and you don't have that much control. So,
somebody earlier today said, you know, how do you protect 26.2 miles?
Yes.
You just don't know that there's a way to do it.
Yes.
But, you know,
it's really double that because it's two sides of the street.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, but no matter what, I hope people will continue to run in the Boston event. If I had the ability, you know, was able to travel to Boston next year and could meet the time requirements, another story, I'd do it. I would do it because I think it's important to show that no matter what happens, the folks who do these type of things, their intent is to get us to change our behaviors and to run and hide and be scared. And we will not be scared. We will not hide. So go out there and do it. You know, be out there and be involved and be proud of it.
Well said, Chuck. Yeah. Well said. So, thank you so much.
Guys, I hope you guys have a greeting again. I'm glad to hear that you guys are okay. And you know, on behalf of myself and all the readers of the Disney Daddy blog, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody affected by this horrible event in Boston.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling us, Chuck. We'll see you down there again sometime soon.
All right. Take care, Mike.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Again, we want to remind everybody that if you'd like to join in the chat room, it's at live.wdwtoday.com. And if you'd like to call and talk to Michelle and myself, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 407-278-5939. It's just a very, very strange day. And getting to back what Chuck said, there are only so many areas that you can protect your runners. And we have another call. Hi, tell us your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Liz from Chicago.
Hi.
Hi, Liz.
Liz.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I am actually doing well. I was very lucky to have a friend in who is also a Disney runner. And we actually went out for dinner, and obviously the first topic of conversation, you know, did you see, did you hear? And we were actually talking about this. What do you think would change in Disney for runners? And, you know, one thing I said is, you know, did you really think about the fact that on World Drive, they don't have a lot of spectators? And could you see them more formally closing the shoulders and things like that to maintain, you know, control of security in that environment? What do you guys think? Do you think they would ever do that? Shut off the spectators?
I was on mute. Sorry, Liz. You know what I was thinking along the line? And again, I tried to listen to as many race officials talk about this. And the concern is where the most congestion is regarding spectators. And, you know, we do see people on World Drive, but for the most part, they're volunteers. Sure, there are some guests, but they're hopefully not able to conceal anything, and they're right out in the open. I think that what might happen is if I were an official that was involved with Run Disney, if I was part of the Reedy Creek security people, that what I would do is I would say we need to have a lot of undercover people walking around watching people. Michelle, do you have some thoughts on this?
Well, you know, Liz, I think that's a very interesting question. I think one of the things that makes Run Disney events so special is that the whole family can come down to Disney and watch their runner do their first 5K or their first half or their first marathon, or, you know, families can run together with grandma and grandpa watching. Yeah, I think the spectating is a huge part of what makes the races special. It's not just for the runners. And I hope not. I just think it would be a shame. Having said that, they have a lot of people to protect. And, you know, when John and Betsy Hughes were on the show, they said what I mentioned earlier. Safety is the number one consideration for the runners, but also for everybody else there. So, gosh, I can't imagine, Mike, how many people are involved in the whole race experience when you consider the runners, the volunteers, the race staff, the spectators. But I think that removing the spectators would be a very bad idea, but I think they may need to consider how they're going to protect all those people. What do you think, Liz?
Well, I was thinking more on World Drive, where you've got that long expanse of open road, and there aren't, honestly, not many people out there, but as you came up toward the Contemporary, there were people just kind of in the grassy areas, and I guess that's what I was thinking. If they did anything, like we were saying, oh, what do you think they do? Well, if they did keep you off the roadways and pushed you just into parks, they could, in essence, as you're saying, have a bag check. They could kind of control that part of the environment. I will say I ran the Chicago Shamrock Shuffle, which was Sunday, April 7th, a week ago, and it wasn't until we had all finished and someone texted me and said, so how did you get rerouted? And I said, well, I don't know. What are you talking about? And apparently they had an incident and someone was threatening to jump. And so they quickly barricaded one section of the run and pushed everyone off two blocks in another direction. But since I had never run it before, I didn't know the difference. And I'm sure the sound of what happened to Boston today, you know, we didn't have any sound. You know, we heard police cars and things, but that's normal in a big city. I can't imagine, you know, 40,000 people in Chicago today, the day of, we ran, and most of us didn't know what happened until it was over. I can't imagine the volume of that experience in Boston with that happening in that moment, and how do you try and control that? You can't.
Yeah, it's true. And as Mike sort of alluded to earlier, we had friends out there on the course, and I was texting with one of them. She had her phone, our friend Christine, and she was at about mile 22 when she thinks something, when it happened, 22 or 23, and she kind of heard something. And then at mile 24, they asked her to get off the course, and that's, you know, heading kind of right into Boston. Now, she was worried, of course, for her family who was at the finish line, and she didn't really have a way to get in touch with them. So, you know, I think from what I can see, the race officials handled it as well as it could be handled. Everybody just jumped in, and, it really was handled well. But there are just so many unknowns. You just really don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, and I am the person who says, you know, you hear of an automobile accident, or, you know, someone saying you could step in front of a bus tomorrow kind of thing. You've got to go out. You've got to live your life. If this makes people not register for a race, then we, as Americans or as runners or as, you know, whatever you want to say the group is you belong to, you know, we lose if you stop running. If we keep going and standing up and going out every day and living our lives, that's what it's about.
I agree.
You know, whether it's running or Disney or just being a person who lives in your community. So I truly appreciate you guys doing that.
Yeah, I was actually having a conversation with my 13-year-old tonight at dinner and asking him his thoughts about it. And he said, honestly, Mom, I'm kind of used to this stuff happening, which as a parent just breaks your heart. And I said, would you come, you know, to cheer Boston again? He said, absolutely. He said, just what you said. Yep. You can't worry about all this stuff, but I'm in schools all the time. I was in lockdown practice the other day in a high school. It is, it's a different world, but we just have to keep on signing up for those races. And, you know, running is such a peaceful, wonderful sport. We just can't have this affect it.
And I love that people say, look, the best way to show that it, you know, didn't get to you is wear your running shirt, or as Chuck said, wear your medal. Show that you support running, you know, today, tomorrow, yesterday, you always have. And, you know, that's part of, you know, what we can do to support a community that is far away, you know. And I think it's important. So that's my two cents. But I will let someone else call and... You know, thank you again for doing this.
Thank you, Liz. It's always good to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Good night, guys. Bye.
Again, the number is 407-278-5939, and the chat room is live.wdwtoday.com. Michelle, you're talking about lockdowns and schools and everything. It's almost as if one by one the safe venues are trying to be taken away from us, and you know, we don't want that to happen. When you think about running, and you think about running in a race, it's fun, it's peaceful, it's an accomplishment, it's a very healthy activity, and it's growing. The running community is growing. The sport of running is growing, and you don't want to see anything like this cause anything to impact that growth. And we have another call. Hi, tell us your name and where you're from, please.
This is Ed from Florida.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing good.
What can we ask? What would you like to say about what happened today?
There's a little meme running around on Facebook. It says, we're runners, we're going to keep running. We're not going to run away.
No.
That's what we have to do.
Do you see, here's a question. I don't think we've asked any of the callers. Ed, if you're approaching, let's say you have a race in about a month, and now you've seen what has happened. Are you approaching the race differently? Are you thinking about things you might do differently as you prepare for the race or as you get to the race and during the race? Is this going to change your approach to running in a race?
Well, I'm just going to keep on as I am. Just a couple of weeks ago, I signed up for my first marathon, and I don't see it changing anything. I'm still going to be there, and I'm still going to do the run.
Yeah.
That's good to hear, Ed. It's good
you
to
just,
hear.
Just have to just wipe this from your thoughts and think it's an abnormality or an anomaly, I guess you'd call it. Michelle, I don't know if I'm using the right word.
So, you know, I'm wondering, you know, as somebody who's in crowds a lot, you know, whether I'm in Boston or at Disney or wherever I am, I'm wondering if the way that we walk around crowds has to change, if we have to be more aware of these things. I know Mike Newell and I were chatting earlier, and he said one of the things that's changed in New York City is that they don't have trash cans because they think maybe that this device was in trash cans, you know, maybe, or mailboxes. Maybe we need to be more on the lookout for things like that as we're in these situations. It's sad, but maybe that's the way we need to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's true. I mean, you always have to watch out for yourself and maybe situational awareness. If you see something strange, you might need to record it. But
yeah, there was
a hard when you're out there on the track, you know, on the road running. It's hard to do that.
One of the things that
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Ed. Go ahead. I can talk later.
You're more concentrated on, you know, run and people around you than what's on the sidelines too much, unless you're actually right there where the crowds are cheering. You know, that's, you're sort of used to that.
Yeah, usually the crowd is and the spectators are concerned about the runners. Are they getting dehydrated enough? I mean, are they hydrating enough? I'm sorry. How's the cramping? How's the nutrition? How's the heat? How are they holding up? And you don't think the spectators would be in danger. You think that the runners would be the ones who you would be concerned about. But today was a different story.
They're the ones that I think most of the people injured were the spectators. There were a few of the runners, I know, but when you see the pictures of that. But
well, Ed, thank you very
much. They were the spectators.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of security systems people who are going to be waking up tomorrow morning and thinking, okay, we have to have a meeting. We need to talk about security systems at races now, because racing is a big business. Racing is very popular, and now they need to figure out how to handle this because, and I hate to say this, but there are copycats out there. And once one thing starts, you never know. You just hope that this is going to be a one-time deal, and that'll be it. And it's just one of the craziest questions. It's the question that I had constantly hitting me is, what would be the motive for something like this? I just don't understand.
Any terrorist attack or any attacks like that at all is hard to figure out motives. You never did. And what's bad is after one, you're affected for a long time afterwards.
Right.
Go to an airport right now and try to fly. And look how long it's been since 9/11.
Yeah. Well, Ed, hey, we think
the runners are going to be affected by this for a long time.
Yeah.
I think so. So we want to thank you for the call, and we want to wish you the best of luck. You did say you signed up for your first marathon?
Signed up for my first marathon. Actually, I signed up for the Dopey.
You signed up for the Dopey?
I signed up for the Dopey.
Ah.
Oh, I've got another marathon between now and then, but this is the one I actually signed up for.
Is this Ed Russell?
Yes, it is.
I thought so. I thought so. Hey, Ed, good to hear from you. And if you've signed up for the Dopey, then I think you better get training, huh?
I'm already started training.
All right,
it's
thanks
for
calling.
Here, so I'm getting ready for it.
Thanks for the call, Ed. You take care of yourself.
Y'all too. Thank you.
We'll see you. Bye-bye now. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I don't know, Mike, if you're looking at the chat, but I see lots of people who are going to be wearing their race shirts tomorrow and their medals, as Chuck suggested, and lots of people who are really talking about not letting this affect them, but, you know, staying strong, being, you know, showing up to races as they would before. So I'm happy to hear that.
And I think you have to honor there right now. The latest is that there are now 3 fatalities and there are 141 injured. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Hopefully that will be the last of the fatalities and everybody that's in the hospital will be patched up and recovering as soon as possible.
And we have the London Marathon coming up next week. I'm sure that they're watching this.
Oh, wow. Too. I mean, one thing to be in the United States race, but it's another thing to be a European race, especially London. Yeah. That'd be a huge target. I don't know. I think I keep going back and thinking about the upcoming, the next Disney race is the Expedition Everest, which is coming up next month, and we'll be there. And it's most likely going to be, I mean, I'd say it there should be, you know, the way Disney handles security and the way they will respond to this and that particular event is within one theme park, so it's very controlled. I don't think there's any worry. And you know, I really don't think there's any worry for any Disney races. I think that you know, you're very safe in Mickey's arms, and I think that there may be some extra steps taken to, you know, assure the runners that everybody's going to be okay.
Well, I do think it's very interesting that John and Betsy Hughes are in Boston. I saw them tweeting from the expo, and as you said earlier, I think John Hughes is probably going to be looking very, very carefully at what happened and how Boston handled it. You know, it looked like it was very, very well handled. I know that they called in all the Boston police officers, those who were on duty and off duty and on vacation. Everybody had to come in. And I think that they're going to be looking at this as they get back to the drawing table and look at how the race is run. They can't ignore it. It's going to be on everybody's mind.
I don't know that much about how race officials prepare for something like this. And I don't know if there's ever a session that they go through where they say, okay, in case there's a bomb or something like that. I don't know. So
well, I mean, police officers and hospitals and firefighters do that all the time, but I'm not sure race officials.
No. Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that you don't expect that in a race. So yes, first responders are ready for things. Police, firemen, nurses—they're ready, but you don't expect a bomb, nonetheless, too, for a race. So, I mean, I think that's it. And I think that when you look at the video, it's the first thing you see is shock and surprise, and then immediately the instincts take over, and you start going into rescue mode and helping everyone. But it's just one of those things where, you know, you can't prepare too much for anything like this. And what you have to do is you have to, at this point, no matter where you are, you have to be alert, try to, you know, think about, you know, what you're going to do if something happens. And I think that for those people who are running, I don't think they were concerned about themselves. I think they're concerned about, you know, their family and friends and loved ones who were waiting for them. Again, we want to remind everyone of the number to call us and chat about this or tell us what you think, especially
if you happen to be there. Or just call and share your love for Boston.
Yeah. 407-278-5939 is the number. And again, we do have a chat room going on, and you can join in on the chat at live.wdwtoday.com. So,
and Mike, I'm very heartened to see what people are saying in the chat room. I just think, you know, we need to go on. We're very strong. We will go on. We'll get past this. But
so enlighten me and the listeners. I don't go for the chat room. I have a tough time, you know, doing one thing at a time. Is there any interesting discussions going on in the chat room?
Well, I think Danette is talking about the chances of actually this, you know, being involved in an event like this and getting hurt are maybe less than they are to be in a car accident. So I think that's a good point. But what I'm seeing mostly is that people are just really showing support for Boston and for runners. And they're, you know, people are saying this is not going to change their life. You know, again, I was talking to Mike Newell earlier, and one of the feelings that I was having right away is that same sick feeling that I had at 9/11 or, you know, so, but we have to move on. And I think we have another call. Who's on the line?
Hey, it's Beatrice Feeney from Winter Park.
Hi, Beatrice.
Hi, really enjoying your show tonight. Just wanted to thank you for all you guys do. And, just thinking about those people in Boston tonight and everyone who runs and every family member who cheers them on and waits at the finish line for them.
Oh, that's great, Beatrice. We actually just recorded a show last night with your running team and mentioned your name, so you're going to be on an upcoming show.
Oh, yay! Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I was running and listening to you guys. I ran 8 miles tonight thinking about those people with heavy hearts.
That's good. So what are your thoughts about security at an upcoming Disney race? Do you think anything is going to change?
You know, they may step it up a little bit, because I was just thinking, as you all were saying earlier, I didn't have any bag checks or anything getting on monorails or buses or, you know, getting anywhere this year at Marathon Weekend, and they're probably going to be looking at, you know, those clear plastic bags that we put our stuff in, and they're going to be looking at the onlookers and things like that. But, you know, that's just all for our safety, so I hope I don't hear any of my friends complaining about that, because, you know, they're just trying to protect us all, and I really appreciate what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, it's like the TSA people. I always try to say thank you, because they're doing their job to keep us safe, and it's going to have to be the same way, I think, maybe at these events. I don't know. I think things are going to change. I think things are going to change.
And I know that so many of us are always in a hurry in times like that, and I'm sure that they really get an earful sometimes about how people need to, they're in a hurry, they just need to get through. But, you know, we have to think about the fact that, you know, all this stuff happens all over the world, and thankfully it hasn't happened at Disney, and hopefully it won't. So we just need to keep letting them do what they're doing, because they're doing it pretty well.
I just wonder the logistics of, you know, we mentioned if you added up everybody who's at a race between the runners and the volunteers and the spectators and the Disney staff who work there, can you check all those thousands of people?
Let's just say yes. Because if we don't, you know, at least I'm sure they can't, but, you know, the people that are trying to get around it have probably thought about us, but let's hope they don't think about, you know, that kind of stuff here. And
now, Beatrice, you work for a news station, don't you?
I did, actually, until December. I worked for 15 years in television.
Oh, I was wondering what it was like around the news station today.
A friend of mine texted me and said it felt like 9/11 all over again. I mean, it was just awful, the feelings, you know. I mean, it just got poured out for everyone involved.
Yeah. Yeah, when Chuck called us earlier, he mentioned how tomorrow is the anniversary of the Virginia Tech shooting. And I think that anytime we see anything like this, it brings back memories of those incidents where, you know, someone wanted to do something bad, and it just impacts a lot of people. And Michelle, you said something to me on the phone today, and you said, it'll never be the same again. And you're right. It won't be the same again for those 150, or actually, it won't be the same again for anybody who was involved in the Boston Marathon, be it a volunteer, be it a runner, be it a spectator, be it an official. It's never going to be the same. So, you know, I don't know. I was just thinking as I was listening to you and Beatrice talk that the Run Disney folks may be holding special classes and telling the volunteers how to look for suspicious behavior, what to look out for signs that, you know, something may not be right. That may be introduced to the preparation. It's really going to be interesting to see. And I would love to find out if they are going to do anything differently, knowing how tight-lipped they could be. They may not want to share. And actually, you know, it doesn't matter if we find out, as long, because we know that they're going to do everything they can to protect their customers, their guests, their runners, and the Run Disney brand, you know?
I think the more eyes out there, the better, so that the more they can tell volunteers and the more they can show them things like that to look for. You know, someone's going to speak up. You've got Reedy Creek out there. You've got EMT. You've got all these people that are, you know, looking for runners who may need help. They're going to be looking for a lot of other things, too. You know, they've all got their radios and their earpieces. So I think it's going to be an eye-opening experience, but I really think they're going to be on it.
So Small World One is asking, do you think Run Disney would plant plainclothes runners? Wow. What do you think, Mike?
I think they already do. I think they already plant plainclothes guests in the parks. And I think there used to be a group called Creative Security. And Creative Security would do a lot of things with companies and teach companies how to do undercover work to protect their products, their services, their inventory, or whatever. And I think that we already have that. And we may have more. We might see. But again, the thing is, Michelle, I don't think the runners are going to be the ones that are in danger. I think it's going to be the spectators.
Yeah.
It's going to be those areas where the spectators are.
Right.
Along the course. Liz was mentioning some places along the course. Obviously, we know Beatrice has been down there. We all know how big the stands are at the finish line for the half and the full. I mean, someone asked me, well, how many people actually watched the finish? And I was at the, I mean, I ran, I watched everything this year and I was a spectator. And Michelle, when you did the full, I was walking towards the finish line and I was trying to do a crowd estimation. I don't know, 5, 7, 8,000. I don't know, but it was a lot of people. And to me, that would be a target area, and that area is really not secure. So,
do you mean the family meetup area where you pick up your bags?
The finish line where Rudy is, where the people sit in the stands, where the cheer squad is. Mm-hmm. That is the most concentrated area. There are people on the grass.
Yeah,
you know, it's just it worries me. What worries me is the possibility of a copycat kind of thing going on.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Beatrice, for calling.
Thank you for all you do. Thanks for having me on.
And good luck with training for your derby.
Okay, thank you. I need it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, Beatrice.
So go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, I want to mention to everybody that we didn't know how long we were going to go tonight, but we planned to be here at least for an hour and to see how the calls were going and see what the interest would be. And if there are an interest in some calls after 10, we will stay here. But right now we're planning to be here until 10 o'clock. And just want everybody out there listening to know that, but we may go on. It's depending upon if there are people calling and people want to talk, we're going to be here, because this is something that is very, very near and dear to all of our hearts. And again, if you would like to go into the chat, it's live.wdwtoday.com. And the number to call in and talk to Michelle and myself is area code 407-278-5939. And again, we want to express how grateful we are to Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio for suggesting this and helping us produce the show. We love you, Mike. I love you like a brother.
When we were talking about doing this, even just before we went on, I was saying to Mike that I didn't know if I could do this because I was crying a lot today, as I'm sure everybody listening is feeling the same way. And I have to say, this has made me feel a lot better just being with my running family, seeing people online who I know and love, and you know, saying positive things. And I hope that people out there are feeling the same way, that it's kind of nice just mourning together and just thinking about this together, even though it's a difficult thing, because we all love running so much. We all love Disney so much. And Mike and I very much love Boston so much because we're from this area. So it's nice to see people are going to be wearing their shirts tomorrow and feeling the love.
Yeah. The thing is that, when I think about what happened today and how it brought back memories of 911 and other things, I find myself going through the same phase as Michelle. First, I'm in shock, and then I start getting concerned about those people who were impacted, the victims, and then I'm in shock again, and then I get real mad. And we have another call. Tell us your name and where you're from, please. Hello? Hi, you're on the air. Hi, this is Mike at Mickey Miles. I guess there's nobody there. Oh, well. What was I saying, Michelle?
Well, you're saying you're angry because when we were talking about it earlier, when I called you earlier in the day, I was still crying and you were saying, I'm angry.
Yeah, I go through different phases and I find myself getting angry. And I want to get my hands on these people. And I want to ask them what was in their minds. And how do they feel now that they've changed the lives of so many people and have hurt so many families. And one little boy now isn't around because of that. You know, I get very, very angry. And because of that, you know, I'm saying, you know, there's no way you're going to stop me. And I think that's what I'm hearing from everybody. Everybody says, I'm going to wear my shirt. I'm going to run. You're not going to stop me. You're not going to stop me. You know, I just get angry. And I'm just wondering if anybody else is like that. I mean, did you get angry, Michelle?
Well, I'm a news junkie, so once the cycle of news starts, even though I was getting angry at some of the way that the reporting was handled, honestly, I was just sadness. I just lots of crying, and to talk about it with my 13-year-old, it's just a different world, you know, that he has to be in lockdown, that he has to think that this is something that, you know, he has to live with. He's been down there to the start line. He knows. He's now been to a place where there's been bombs, and it's awful.
I think we have our caller back. Hello, caller. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
Did you not hear me, or am I missing out? It's Chris.
I did not hear you, Chris.
Hi, we didn't Chris. Hear you, Chris.
Oh, well, now you sound like my wife.
It's Chris Eliopoulos. We just know him as Chris. He's like Cher or Madonna.
Yeah, that comes down to one word.
He's just one name.
Yeah, well.
And I know Chris's boys are just a day older than my son, so I'm sure you're feeling the same things.
Yeah, that was it. I shut off the news and made cookies for the kids and sort of tried to do the home thing and try to put all this stuff out of your mind for a little while, but, you know, it really does. I mean, it really does hit home for the, you know, the running community for, like, you know, I've come to think of every kind of runner as a family member, and, you know, you feel like it's personal now, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
And they come after one of our own, you know, you really want to. But, like, I was saying in the chat room earlier, there was a story, the 78-year-old runner who got knocked down by the blast, actually got up and finished the race.
Oh, I didn't see you mention that in the chat, but I had mentioned it to the mic and the mic before before we started recording. So he got up and finished. Oh, that's great.
That's the story I read. So, mm-hmm. You know, which I guess kind of speaks for everybody in general. It's just, you know, let's dust ourselves off and keep moving forward and not let these guys win, because you know what? They are just a small segment of the world and we're much more powerful than they are. So
yeah, there's somebody going by with a child in a wheelchair when it happened, and they continued on. Yeah, boy, that's amazing. And just for me to see all those police officers just jump right over, I mean, not even a thought, volunteers, police officers,
everybody. It wasn't even just EMS, and it was just people just were ran straight at it, which is like, I mean, I would hope I'd be able to do that at the moment, but, you know, you think about it, like, oh, my God, nobody knew if there was – I mean, two bombs went off. Who just said it wasn't going to be a third that went off right there? And they went right at him. Amazing.
Yeah.
Chris, if – I mean, do you foresee any changes in how Walt Disney World Marathon would be run because of this?
Well, I mean, you would think that they would, like they were doing here, is target the large areas of people. And
right.
Usually out on those like, if you would say the marathon, out on those main, you know, the highways, there's not a lot of people out there. So you would think they would not do that. Probably the places they would target would be in the parks. And they've got the security for the parks pretty tight. And I would assume on race day now especially. And even I think Disney was even more secure after 9/11. They tended to ramp up their checks. So I would think that around these events they'll start really checking everybody hard. You know? But it's, you know, that's a big task. I don't envy them. I mean, anytime you're gathering a large group of people is going to be a target now. So, you know, and the upcoming one in January is a 4-day event. I mean, that's going to be relentless for security.
Well, yeah, at least though with – well, actually, I was going to say the 5K shouldn't be an issue because that's run inside the park. But, again, where you finish is the same place that
they have. But it starts outside the park.
Starts outside the park and the finish line is outside the park. All the finish lines are outside the park.
Right.
And there is really no security at, God forbid, the World of Sports where they have all the children's races. So my thought is what – was it Beatrice or someone said earlier about – Michelle, might have been you – about undercover runners, undercover agents. I can see a lot of effort being put forth to have undercover security looking for suspicious happenings, suspicious behavior. I can see them talking to their more experienced volunteers and say, this is what you should be looking for. This is what you should be aware of while you're doing your thing. And I think that type of heightened awareness is going to be the first step that they take. I hate to say this, but, you know, Michelle, I mentioned this to Michelle, and I said, gee, I wonder if we're going to see someday where when we go through the toll plazas to get into the parks, if our vehicles have to go through scanners. That might be the case, you know.
Like they do around the Capitol. Chris, do you have any thoughts or worries about taking your kids racing? I don't know if they're going to be doing any of the races with you.
I don't think they're going to be doing any of the races. But, again, you know, you think that they're going to be out and about, right. You know, which is a weird one, too. If you think about it, I'm out running a course, and I guess this is very similar to what people went through today, is you know, oh, God, I'm on the course here, and a bomb went off over there where my family may have been waiting for me.
Right.
You know, that's even, like, that's terrifying. I mean, the idea of that, but, I mean, they're going to come with us, and they're going to be down there, and, you know, screw them all. You know, we're going, and we're not going to be scared off by this. I mean, you know, you can't – you got the airports where they're checking. They've got – you know, they're going to be checking. My thought would be in terms of Disney, I know they – I think they do it during – on the election day, the area around where the president comes up Pennsylvania Avenue or even on New Year's night or New Year's Eve night – where they have security checks and you go into a certain spot, they clear you and you're not allowed out of that area and you can't get back in. And I wonder if they're going to start doing that kind of thing where they're going to gate off the end, you know, the finish line, and they're going to check you to get in. But, you know, once you leave, that's it. You can't check out type of thing unless you're – which, you know, that's a large area. I don't know how they would – I mean, because there's buses coming in every which way. You know, I mean, think about that family area at the end of the race. I mean, that is pandemonium. I mean, you couldn't even, I don't know how you would even check to see if there was strange behavior because everybody's like crazy.
Well, you know what you could have, Chris, you could have a number of dogs there sniffing around.
My understanding was they had dogs there this morning at the finish line.
Well, it's where you sniff, I guess.
Yeah. You know?
That's the thing, you know. I mean, there aren't enough dogs. There aren't enough nostrils around to handle all the areas that need to be sniffed. But
I assume that was a large crowd. But I mean, the Disney crowds are huge. I mean, and they're every, you know, in multiple locations. I don't know. That just seems like an insane task to me. But
I don't know.
You know. I mean, I guess they got to do it. What are they going to do? I mean. People are going to want to feel safe to be down there. mean, I would assume they'd probably want to have more visual presence as well, you know, scare people off. You know,
well, yeah. Yeah, I think any kind of a deterrent that they can use to ward off something like this is a deterrent that's needed. I don't know how these bombs were set off. I mean, I don't know if they might have been placed somewhere like 5 minutes from the point where they went off. I don't know. It's just frightening how some of these people think, and I think you have to think like them to stop them. You have to think like them, and you have to think that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, there's always a possibility of some nut job wanting to do something like this. And again, I've said this all day long, and Michelle's probably going to throw something at me through her iPhone if I say it again. What would make anybody want to do that? That's what's so puzzling. Why?
I don't think anybody listening to this could.
It's like, you know,
an answer for that. There's
Nancy Kerrigan would ask the same question, you know?
So,
there's levels of craziness. And
Mike Newell, who's more of a news junkie than I am, I think, definitely says that there's a belief that these things were brought in after the bomb dogs were scared. Because, again, I've been down there. You can walk in and out. It's just, you know, it's not an area that's – I mean, you can't – walk across the street at that point. You're stuck on one side of the street.
But there's retail stores.
You can walk right down the in the, you know, I think at the finish line, where I said before it may be 4 deep, at the finish line, I think it's 5, 6, 7 deep. I mean, there are people holding kids on their shoulders to see the finish line. So it is highly congested. It's a highly populated area. It's like being on a, you know, like a platform of a subway where everybody is right up next to each other. So it doesn't shock me that there are 137 casualties.
But they were very low, they said, right? I mean, it was like a low on the ground, and it kind of got everybody in the legs, and which is interesting. So then they wondered, like, is it in a garbage pail? You know, is that something now that they have to think about too? I mean, you know, there's all these weird. And then they said they found two others that they detonated on their own or something like that.
And then people have left backpacks there because they ran, so they had to worry about those.
Do you think you're going to think about this when you're running? Like, I mean, I don't even know what I'm going to do, but, you know, like you're saying, Mike, it has to be something on your mind at all times. We're sitting there training and getting ourselves in a mindset to finish a race. Like, does that distract you? Is that something that's going to on race day? Like, are you going to think beyond that moment?
Ever since I broke my ankle, I'm always watching where I'm running and stuff. I'm always concerned about that. But over the last several years, I've become more and more enamored with how races are run and how things are put together and the logistics. So I kind of look, but I don't expect something like this to happen. And I think, you know, thinking about this, I wanted to ask you two guys.
Well, I wanted to answer this too, because I don't know if I'm more anxious, but, you know, I worry about this stuff. And ever since Sandy Hook, and I know our buddy Rich Gehring is on the chat too, and he's from Newtown. But ever since that time, every time I go into a school, that's what I think of. And I go to schools 5 times a week. So, it's always on my mind. I don't know how it can't be. That's why I said to you earlier, I think everything has changed. I'll either be a little nervous about it or just have it in my mind in some way. What were we going to say, Mike?
He doesn't care. You want to hear a weird story on my end, since Mike is probably on mute now? and speaking of which, a very similar thing. I went to go a week or two ago into my kid's school to drop something off, and you know how they buzz you in, and you know you have to tell them who you are. And I had walked up, and they know me from, you know, because I'm there all the time, because my kids forget everything at home. And this woman was already getting buzzed in, and she announced who she was, and I said, "Oh, and guest, ha ha ha." And she literally turned to me, looked at me, and said, "You're not going to shoot us all, are you?" And that one like threw me back. I had no clue how to react to that one, but I guess like you're saying, it's always going to be there now. And I think she was sort of being kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I think she was a little nervous. She didn't know who I was and was I going to be allowed to get in or not. And, you know, obviously you know me and the people in the school knew me. She didn't know me and, you know, she got a little nervous. But there's now wherever you go and whatever you do, there's that second thought. And I wonder if that's going to be, you know, with the races. You're going to second-guess everything now.
Yes.
Mike, you off mute yet?
Yeah, I was just what I was going to ask you guys was that, as far as I know, is this, unless something escaped me, is this the first time a terrorist act has occurred during a United States sporting event?
No, there was the Olympics, right?
No, no. Oh, and.
Oh, that was in. Yeah, it was in Munich.
It was in Munich.
I forgot you said United States.
Nothing happened in L.A., though, right? Anything happened? No. Yeah.
I mean, Atlanta? Wasn't there a bombing in Atlanta?
Yeah, there was.
Oh, yes, the Olympic bombing. Correct. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say there was the Boston, wasn't it the subways that got hit that a couple of years back? Is that right?
No, I thought it was New York. I thought it was New York. Oh, actually, you would know if it was New York.
London.
London.
Oh, London. London. Well, that's right, London. No.
But, all right. Well,
I guess I should go run and let you talk to someone else.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for calling.
I think you're okay and you guys are safe. And
yeah. Thanks for your text today. It was I said this on Facebook. I had people checking me from Colorado to all over the country, from Mexico. Our friend Jorge sent me a note, and it was really nice. And also from New Jersey. So thank you.
Yay.
Another country, yeah.
Another country, Jersey.
Hey, Chris, before we let you go, how's Audra doing with her recovery?
We're doing very well. If people don't remember, she broke her ankle about a month before the marathon. She was going to do the Goofy. Let's think. Saturday, she ran 10 miles. Sunday, she ran 9. She ran another 2 today. We got our official notice. The two of us are signed up for Dopey. Awesome. And Michelle, if you remember, Nate, my partner, has signed up for Dopey as well.
Oh, boy.
So, wow.
We're all in. He can finish all of them in half the time.
No, yeah, he's going to beat – his time will, like, beat us, you know, why you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's fast. So,
running backwards. Right. Well, let's look forward to more happy times and hopefully safe times. Tell everybody we said hi. Thanks for calling.
We'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks,
Chris. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye.
I think we have another call on the line. And could you tell us who you are, what's your name, and where you're from, please?
This is Will from Baltimore. How you guys doing?
Will?
Yeah.
Hey, Willcad. How you doing?
Will, you're overmodulated. Can you lower your microphone a little bit?
Oh, sorry. I'm using my Bluetooth headset.
Oh.
Ah, okay. So what do you think?
I've got a big mouth anyway.
Yeah, I know that too. It doesn't matter. So what do you think of today? What do you think of what happened?
Well, I guess like everybody else, as soon as I heard the news, I flashed back to all the previous terrorist incidents and mass shootings that we've had over the past 15 or 20 years, from Oklahoma City to Columbine and Virginia Tech and, of course, 9/11. But I was curious, not being a runner, as you both know, I only run when I'm chased. I've never been to a marathon course before, but looking at the photos, the setup of the marathon reminded me an awful lot of the setup we had in Baltimore for the Grand Prix the last 2 years. And I did go to the Baltimore Grand Prix that first year, and that course was quite a bit shorter than a marathon, of course, but it was very secure. And I think that probably what you're going to see at marathons, particularly at the Disney marathons, is an increase in fences and barriers along the course and more closed-off areas with bag checks and other security measures for the spectators.
Yeah, you might be right, Will. There may be barriers set up that will cordon off people to enforce them to go through areas where they would be given the type of scrutiny needed in order to secure that area. For instance, there would be additional barriers set up. So if as you're going to, let's say you wanted to go to the finish line, there would be less than maybe five different ways of going. It may be only two ways, or maybe just one way in, one way out. And in order for you to get in, you have to go through some kind of security search. And that way, when everyone is in there, we know that, well, assuming that the search is done very well and there's no breach or whatever, that everybody's safe. So I think you're right. I think there's going to be limitations that we may be seeing in the future.
Yeah, and I think the methodology that they use for the Baltimore Grand Prix is perfectly adaptable to a marathon situation. Even in the middle of a very urban area like Boston or New York, but it's the cost is going to be the big factor there, because the barriers that they put up for the races, of course, to protect the spectators from crashes, have to be extremely robust, and they also double layer them. So there's an outer fence and then an empty area that is accessible only to race workers and a certain amount of media, and then an inner barrier that is very strong to contain crashed vehicles. And I think a similar setup is probably going to start appearing at marathons after this.
Well, again, I think that the areas that I'd be most concerned about are going to be the areas where you find the most concentrated area of spectators. And for Disney run events in Walt Disney World, it's the gathering area before and after the race, the family meeting area, and it's the, obviously the start area, the corrals. I couldn't even think of what would happen if, oh, my God. But and also the finish area along the course. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, as Liz Driscoll said about an hour ago, those areas are very prone to security breaches. But you might be right, Will. They might be doing something like you said earlier. The barriers may be a factor that, you know, prevent people from getting here and there. I know that. When I was rooting for everybody this past January, I was going in places where I probably shouldn't be. And, you know, maybe those places won't be so easy to get to in the future.
Yeah, that's been one of the great things about marathons, is that the courses are so open that spectators can get right up there all along the track and show their support for the runners. And you know, the famous images of people handing cups of water and Gatorade to the runners as they go by, that sort of thing. I don't think you're going to see that anymore at marathons. I think you're going to find the entire course isolated, and I think you're going to find that the runners are going to have to go through security to get to the track, and no one but the runners and race workers are going to be allowed on the track itself or even within 10 or 15 feet of it. Wow. And that's going to be an automatic thing. It's going to be very visible to everyone, and it's going to make people feel safer. It may not actually make them safer, because there are still going to be areas where there are huge crowds gathered outside of the course, but I think you'll see that start appearing at Disney races within the next year, and probably at other major city marathons as well.
Yeah,
but the only way that you can really secure the crowd areas, you can have these large areas that people can enter, which we had at the Grand Prix. And we didn't have security checks at the Grand Prix, but the areas were funneled, because those viewing areas, the grandstand areas, were by ticket only. So, of course, you had to go through a very thin entrance area and show your ticket. And it was, if they add a bag check to that, you're going to wind up with long lines, but it will make it as secure as going into one of the Disney parks, at least.
I do think, Will, that there's a difference between a Grand Prix race and, I mean, there are similarities, but I think there's a the similarities would be that there's a crowd factor that you have to worry about when you're and that's true of any large event. I think that what you want is, like you said, I don't want to just feel safer. I want to be safer, you know. And I think that for me as a runner, I'm more concerned about the spectators right now than I am myself as a runner. I know that when I finish the race, I become a spectator, and then I'm a little bit more concerned. But as a runner on the race course, I can't let myself be worried about myself. I got to worry about everybody else. But we'll see. Hey, I want to thank you.
I agree.
I want to thank you for the call. We're gonna. I think we're gonna have you be our last caller. So I want to thank you. Hope to see you. Yeah. When's your next trip before you go? When's your next trip?
I'll be at WDW Reunion this year in December.
Oh, that's right. All right. It will be a large crowd, that's for sure. Well, hey, thanks for calling, and we'll see you on the road.
Okay. Bye, guys. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye. Do we have another call?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
It's Eddie.
Eddie?
Ed.
Yes. No, Eddie.
Eddie from?
Villarica, Georgia.
I thought so.
Because we know you as Eddie.
I mean, Eddie, yeah. I mean, there's a million Eddies, you know? Hey.
Yes.
For everybody who does not recognize the voice, it's Eddie McCoy. We call him Fast Eddie. Eddie, I was going to ask you, you will be our last caller. So what are you thinking about next year? Because you're going to Boston next year, right?
Yeah, no, I've had a lot of thoughts today. I literally missed it by one day this year. I qualified on a Saturday and then actually sold out on a Friday. And a lot of thoughts in my mind today in this race, especially, you know, the clock read 4:09, and I thought, you know, usually I'm a fast guy, so I usually run in the low threes, but you never know if you had that day where you have a cramp, you have something happen. And then, as for me, my whole family is planning on going to Boston with me, not my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my wife, and my kids. And, you know, to have them at the finish line and to think that you could somehow be responsible for harming your family is such a tough thought to try to process. And, you know, it's something when I think about next year, I'm going to run it. If there's a race, I'm qualified, I'm going to run it.
I think I'm going to try to run it too with you, Eddie. But I'll do it on with a charity, so I won't be able to qualify.
Right.
But yeah, but you know, something that you said just popped into my mind. And again, I mentioned Clarissa before. She mentioned that the majority of runners came in last year about 4:10, like the big bottleneck of people came in at that particular time.
Really?
So, yeah, that is the time. So 4:09, 4:10 is when most of the runners came in. If you think of it, you know, like a bell curve of people, that would be the biggest amount of time. So you would be sooner, and then, you know, so
right. But you never know. And last year was extreme heat, and a lot of people were running a lot slower last year. But regardless,
yeah.
here then or now, or whether it happened at 3:30 or whether it happened at 5 or 6, you know, just the fact that if you're a runner and you have something happen to your family, you know, because they're coming to celebrate something like that, that's just going to be tough to live with.
And we don't know all the stories yet.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are runners that are dealing with that tonight, and that's just a sad thing.
Yeah.
But with it said, you know, I mean, I run a lot of races, and I'm not going to stop running. I will continue to run. And as far as securing the course, it's 26.2 miles. It's impossible to secure. It's not going to be.
You're right.
You're not going to secure the whole course. That's a ludicrous thought. It's just not going to happen.
Mm.
And you have to have aid stations. That's essential to running and keeping the runners safe and healthy. So it's a sad event. You know, there's a lot of things that will be learned from this experience. I do think races will be safer. I do believe there'll be a lot more money that's going to have to be put into them, and where they get the money, I don't know. I'm sure that'll come back to us running. And then also, I'm sure some races may end up disappearing.
Well, again, Eddie, I think that as a race director, one of the things that John pretty much said, it was number one in his down in Orlando, is that they are very concerned about keeping the runners safe. And now I think that they have to add to that. I think as a race director, you know, you want to make sure that your runners are going to be hydrated. You have enough water stations. You've got enough medical personnel. But now you have to think more. You have to lean a little bit now towards the spectators to make sure that they're safe, to make sure that they're secure. And I think that's where a lot of the adjustments are going to be made. And I think we'll see a lot of things happening over the next year, like you said, where we'll be noticing a little bit more things that are geared towards securing the area for the spectators.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt what happened today is a game changer in running. It's going to change things going forward for all races. So it's just a matter, you know, of what can be done and with the most resources available and move forward. And I guess the runners have to decide whether they're living here or where they want to run. And I'm going to run.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you guys are doing and being an outlet for a lot of people that are probably sitting here like me, stunned, confused, angered, mad, sad, all emotions today.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to call, Eddie. We appreciate it.
When's your next race, Eddie?
I got a 15K next weekend and then two marathons back-to-back after that.
Well, good luck. I'll be following you.
That's cool.
All right. Thank you, Eddie.
Take care, Eddie. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
And before we sign off, I want to say that we've heard from everybody. I just got an email from our friend Messiah, who just woke up in Japan and is sending best wishes to people in Boston, too. So this is, you know, it's a global thing. Everybody's going to be thinking about Boston. So I hope people do wear their race shirts. I'm going to wear my marathon shirt tomorrow and wear it proudly.
I want to thank everyone for calling tonight, taking time to express their feelings. I think this was very therapeutic, as one of our callers said. I think it was Cynthia. Maybe it was Cynthia.
Yeah.
Cynthia at the beginning. That's correct. Yeah. I also want to thank again my brother from another mother, Mike Newell from Mouse World Radio, for producing the show. He is the best in the business, and you're going to have to fight me if you think someone else is better. So thank you, Mike.
And he's just a very kind guy, too.
Yes.
And a sweetie pie.
Very kind guy. He's a Mets fan, but, you know, we'll let it go.
He did make a Red Sox crack, but I'm going to let that go. But anyway, thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody in the chat room. And, you know, I know this is not a night where you go to sleep and you feel good, but I feel a little more comforted just being able to talk about this with everybody and chatting with people in the chat room and chatting with you too, Mike. Thank you.
Yep. I think that hopefully we'll all sleep a little bit better tomorrow, and we all have to protect and look over each other and watch over each other, and I think that's what's going to happen even more in the running community. So on behalf of Mike Newell from Mouse World Radio and my colleague, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa. We'll see you on the road.